verse 24 and 25.
And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near.
Praise be to God. You may be seated. Today I want to begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, very familiar passage, probably the most memorized verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In considering this passage, this very first sentence from the scripture, there are two primary groups of people. There are those people who have drawn in, who have drawn this opening statement from the Bible into question. And they say there is no God and that all things are the result of cause and effect or something along that line. But for the believers, those of us that are believers, we accept the notion that God exists and we embrace his interaction and guidance in our lives. Now, for me, the truth is I've not always been a believer. You know, as a child, the idea that there was something up there watching, it was just a little too weird for me. To say that there was a God who paid attention was just like, you know, that's like having somebody in the bathroom with you. It's just weird. Okay? I never feared goblins or things like that because I never really believed them, even as a child. There were plenty of crazy people in our neighborhood, and there was a real fear from them. But as far as ghosts and goblins, I just kind of never believed. It just sort of wasn't in me, and I don't know why. Okay? I recall at one point, my teen years, there was a vibrant youth group at a local church pretty near us. And I was invited on a couple of occasions to attend the meetings that were going on there, but the truth is I never went. The phrase had not been coined, but when I thought about going to youth group, this is kind of what I thought, is that those people had drank the Kool-Aid. The expression, they drank the Kool-Aid, didn't come onto the scene until after November 18, 1978, when Jim Jones and more than 900 members of the People's Temple committed mass suicide in the jungle of Guyana. They did that by drinking cyanide laced Kool-Aid. Those of us who were adults at the time, we certainly remember that. And I found a lot of photographs online of what that looked like, but I thought they were all too gruesome to put up here this morning. Okay. As the news reports came out, the truth about how Jones had convinced and conditioned his followers was nothing short of diabolical and gruesome. Drinking the Kool-Aid quickly became an expression for people who would buy into unsubstantiated fears and notions. The point of today's message is to extend the caution to you about drinking the Kool-Aid of fear and despair. As a pastor and teacher, you know what? I've taken a lot of heat over the years, because I do everything in my power to keep the Kool-Aid away from our church. And I say I take a lot of heat, and the thing is that a lot of people are like, you gotta tell them that, you gotta tell the people they're sinners. Tell them if they don't receive Christ, they're going to hell. Well, I do tell them. But what I say is, if you don't receive Christ, you're going to spend eternity separated from God. Now, that means you're going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Those are the two choices for eternity. With God or without God. That's it. Yeah, there's not like a smorgasbord of choices. There's just the two. It's either on or you're off. So, but whenever somebody uses fear to get you to make a decision, they're saying, here, take the Kool-Aid. Drink it. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Be worried. Be concerned. There's a ghost that's going to get you. Boom. God does not want mindless followers, fearful followers, or corrupt followers. He wants intelligent, confident, and peaceful followers who love and care for His creation. Yet there are many people, good people, nice people, Christian people, who want to be able to pigeonhole everything and everyone so that they can control them. That's drinking the Kool-Aid. A comedian, Emo Phillips, tells a story. He says, once I saw a guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? He said, a Christian. I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. What franchise? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. I said, Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. I said, Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And I said, die, you heretic, and I pushed him off the bridge. Get so entrenched in the little details of who's drank the Kool-Aid and who hasn't that our brains fall out. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Then he adds in verse 24, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing. Now, in order for us to avoid swallowing the metaphoric camel, we need to understand our faith in great detail, okay? But in understanding something in detail, it's like in understanding Ruby's house. I can get choked up on all the little details that they're trying to get me to follow. Or ultimately, I can just do what I've set out to do, which is build the house. Because there is such a thing in the construction world as an as-built. Which means you present the plans, they approve the plans, then you build the house. And if you're a licensed contractor, you kind of just build it. And then you say, this is what I did. And they're like, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. And then you can either talk them out of it, or comply, or deal with the consequences. But you can't lose sight of what your goal is, which is to build a house. Now, in the same way, when we look at our faith, I want to challenge you today to consider our faith at arm's length, to get a good vantage point of what our faith is. It's kind of like looking at a painting, you know, a portrait that someone has painted of something. And when we look at that painting, you know, the first thing that you do is run up to the painting and whip up a magnifying glass and start looking at all the little details. Now, the first thing you do when you look at a painting is you look at it from a distance. You step back and say, well, that looks like something, unless it's like Van Gogh. And then you're like, that looks like nothing. But so you look at it and you know, and it draws you in and it brings you joy. And then, you know, as you begin to look, then you begin to draw in and you start looking at the brush strokes and the minute detail. In the same way, we need to see God's overall will for earth before we consider His will for our lives. We need to understand, in the same way we need to see God's overall will for earth before we can understand His will for our lives. So before we can understand His will for our lives, we need to understand His overall will for everything and everybody, for humanity and the planet. Once we understand what His will is there, then we can move in a little closer and we can begin to ask Him, okay, what's your will for my life? Me, how do I fit into the portrait here? And once we understand how we fit in, then and only then can we begin to ask, how do others fit in? So first we have to understand what God's doing at large, then what He's doing for us, in us, and then we can begin to look at others. And not judging them, but understanding where they fit in. Okay. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first verse of the Bible says that we need to grasp the concept that God created. Now, someone said to me once, I believe that God created the earth by using the Big Bang Theory. Now, let me say this. I don't personally believe that. But in order for me to engage in a discussion with that person about whether God created the Big Bang Theory or whatever, then we need to move in and we need to start looking at the details and all the things that are around that. But if I don't really have a grasp on the reality of just that first premise that God created, if I don't get that one down, I'm not going to get the second one down. So we have to be careful that when we're viewing the portrait, that we don't jump right to the details before we understand what the painting itself is. So in order for us to not gag on all the gnats that are buzzing around, we need to keep the big picture forefront in our minds, recognizing that regardless of how it happened, God made it happen. So that's the first thing to put in your mind when considering creation and the portrait that God has painted for all time's sake. When we look at it, when we look at the portrait of creation, we need to look right down in the lower corner, and it's not going to say Michelangelo, it's going to say G-O-D. Because God is the one who's created all things. Now, by taking the time to step back and understand the picture as a whole, without getting lost in all the incredible details, we can begin to see the portrait of creation differently than maybe we've ever seen it before. It is by looking with eyes that refuse to see it, really as we've been taught, or as we've been told. And we need to see it without interjecting anything into it. We need to see creation without anything except the facts that were given in Scripture by God. And I know this is touchy, but when people are saying, when they're taking a Bible, I don't have my Bible here, hand me a Bible. When people are taking their Bible and they're saying, okay, we see what it says right here. Now you got to turn over here. See what it says here? Now you got to turn over here. See what it says here? See what it says here? See what it says here? If you don't agree with me, you're not against me. You're against God. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to argue with that. Now, be careful that you're not drinking the Kool-Aid when you buy in to that sort of indoctrination. Because it can all make sense, but it can all suck you right in to where you're only focusing on a little tiny corner of the portrait that God has for us. And you lose sight of the whole of what He's done. And if you lose sight of the whole of what He's done, then you're going to lose sight on Him. And suddenly it's going to be more important to you that you're evangelical than that you're Christian. Or that you're Baptist than that you're Christian. Or it may become more important to you that I identify as a Christian than that you identify yourself as somebody who was once a sinner, who was separated from God, and who was bound for hell. But by the grace of God, I came to the knowledge of His Son, and I received Him into my heart. And now I've been transformed, and I'm just overwhelmed by the love that God has for me. Because that's where we need to be, is understanding the depth of God and who He is, and the love that He has for us. We need to step back and see who God is. When we look at the portrait of creation, if what we see is the heavens and the earth flying out of God's mouth and shooting into the void and the darkness, we're going to miss the whole of what it is, because our mind and our eyes will always get drawn into earth and heaven. When in reality, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, in the beginning isn't the main point. The heavens and the earth aren't the main point. God is the main point. Because this incredible, undescribable entity, God, created two lesser entities, heaven and earth. And so God becomes the main point. And so when we look at creation, all we can truly, really see is just God and nothing else. By stepping back and seeing that God is painting creation as a whole for the first time, we can begin to understand that God never draws our attention to the past. He always draws our attention to the future. So you see, creation isn't about what was done. Creation is about what will be done. So you see, the story of creation and the portrait of creation isn't about Genesis 1:1. No, the story of creation is about Revelation 22. Because it's not about the first chapter and what happened. It's about the last chapter in the Bible and what's going to happen. Revelation 22:1. And the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on the other side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruits each month. The leaves of the trees will be the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed. But the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And His servants will worship Him. They will see His face. And His name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. That's what God was creating. You see, God created the earth. But not so that He would have the earth. He created earth so that He could have heaven. In this view of the Bible, in the imaginary portrait that I'm trying to draw, we see things with an eternal perspective. God did not create earth for earth's sake. Because He has a plan to destroy earth. Earth was created so that humans could come to Christ and gain eternal life. So when you look at creation, don't see what was, see what is. Here's a few photos that is going to help, I hope, kind of put this all in perspective to how big God wants us to think. Now the first picture, there, these are the smaller planets in our solar system, and you can see Earth right there, and it's pretty big and impressive. Go to the next slide. This is all the planets in our solar system, and you can see Earth right there. Not so impressive compared to everybody, right? But it's still Earth, that's where we live. Go to the next slide, please. Now if you add the sun in, that's Earth. We're getting kind of small there. If a fly was on the wall, we'll cover that. Go to the next slide. You take our sun and compare it to other suns that have been discovered in the universe. Look at the size of that. Our little sun. Now, Earth is invisible at this scale. Go to the next slide. Let me read about that. In 1990, NASA's Voyager 1 spacecraft photographed Earth from a record distance of 3.7 billion miles. The tiny blue white dot halfway down the brown street on the right is Earth floating in the dark depths of space. So that is Earth. Isn't that amazing? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when we look at that, it kind of gives a certain credit to this next slide. If you know the story there, there's people, there's a whole world living in there on a ball of dust. Horton hears a who. Makes me feel kind of, maybe we're not so important if we're living on this. Go to the next one. If that's where we live, how important are we really? And if that's where we live, then how come this, how important are this next two people in this slide? I mean, in the scope of everything, how important is this really? Now the next slide. One last picture. You remember when today's message began, I said, when it comes to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are two primary groups of people. I said, there's people who say there is no God, and all things were kind of cause and effect. And there are those who accept the notion that God exists, and and we embrace his interaction and guidance in our lives. Now, when it comes to this space photograph, there are those who would say, considering the immensity of the universe, can you really believe that there is a God who cares for what you do? And then there are those who say, considering the immensity of the universe, can you believe that there is a God who cares what we do? The difference between the two statements is whether there's a question mark or a period. So, we have to decide whether we're going to drink the Kool-Aid of fear and despair, or whether we're going to drink from the river of life that comes from God.
Amen.
Inviting us to find the freedom of God's unconditional love. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God."
Amen.
My challenge to you today is just quite simply, don't buy in to just functioning with all the little minutiae that's going on. I've got to tell you something. Whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton are president, Jesus is still king.
Yeah.
Okay? Donald and Hillary are not going to speed up or slow down God's plan to establish his kingdom.
Amen.
The government does not direct who we are. We direct in Christ who we are. Be who God's called you to be. Just be that person and be at peace. Be filled. Be joyful. Let the rest go. Does that mean you shouldn't care about who you vote for? Nah. Cast your vote. Make decisions. Have discussions. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Be at peace. Because I can tell you, I'll probably tell you this again over this month, that on Tuesday, what is it, November 8th or 9th, whatever, everybody's going to go to the polls and everybody's going to vote, and then just before midnight, God's going to cast his vote, and that person will win.
Amen.
Because he is moving us
on
the line toward the coming of his kingdom, and no man understands the immensity of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray together.
Father, we just want to thank you for being our God and for loving us. Help us, Lord, to stand on these principles that belong to you. Help us, Lord, to not get pulled left or right. Help us to not get fooled by the things of this world. Help us, Father, to be people who operate from faith, not from fear. Help us, Lord, to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we could be so filled with peace that the things of this world will not shake us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you guys please come? God through Jesus Christ is not a philosophy. He is a deity. He spoke and he created all things, including you and me. Don't take for granted his impact in our lives and the impact that we can have on others through him. Father, I pray that you would help us as a congregation as we go forward this week. Help us, Lord, to leave your fingerprints everywhere we go, that people would know that they are loved and that they are appreciated, and that no matter what happens, hope exists because you exist. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.